Children, you may take off to children's church. Today, as we go into the Word of God, I'm going to move up here. I need to see how much time I actually have. No, you're good. You're good, Mitch. You're good. We're about where we would normally be, within about 5 minutes, so we're good. Today, we are going to be looking at living a circumcised life in our church, and what better day to look at that than the day of our annual meeting? The reality of who we are in Christ Jesus and how we become who we're supposed to be as the body of Christ. So to look at that, I would like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. We're going to begin in the first chapter, and we're going to begin on verse 27. And the reason we're starting in 27 is because in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore. Well, if we're going to know what the therefore is there for, we have to read a few verses ahead of that. Okay? Because Paul here is talking to the church. This letter is written to the church about being the church. It's written to the elders and the deacons. It's written to the overseers. It is written because this church wasn't having a problem, but that they were being a blessing, and Paul wanted them to continue to be a blessing. So he was setting the level just a little bit higher and giving them a little bit more understanding in who they are and how they were to be living their lives. So from verse 27, we read these words, "Thus saith the word of the Lord, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too from God. For to you, it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me." When we read these words from the Apostle Paul, we know that the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. And the people were concerned about him and his welfare and how he was doing. But Paul, who's in prison for the gospel, wasn't worried about his own sake because he had already given that up to the Lord. What was he worried about? He was concerned about the church in Philippi. He wanted to make sure that they understood these earthly things are going to come into their midst. The past several weeks, I've been dealing with an ailment in my body to the point of last week it affected some things. And I had to rely upon you, the church, to do what the church is supposed to do. Now, that ailment is not gone. Right now, my guts are turning upside down. But can you tell? No, because I'm walking in the Holy Spirit. And the power of God, he who is in me, is greater than he who is in the world. And I will proclaim the gospel with my dying breath. That's where we all need to be. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says that we are to stand firm in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're not to be walking around with the pity me, poor me, oh my goodness, why always me? Why not you? What makes you so special? Nothing. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. And that speciality is unto eternity, not this world. We as the church of Jesus Christ need to remember, we will struggle, we will strife. We're going to put up with things, okay? How many of us have kids that have put us through world's end? I didn't ask for hands to go up, but that was cool that they did. Your kids are looking at you right now saying, oh yeah, which one is it? Yes, that's the answer to that question, yes. We need to understand we're God's kids, and how much do you think we put him through? Yes. See, that's the answer to that question. But we, as the church, God has given us the ability to stand in one spirit, one mind, one peace, one presence, one purpose, and that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we submit ourselves to him. Amen? And that's really what this is all about. And Paul then begins his next discourse in chapter 2. Please turn to chapter 2. He says, therefore, all right, knowing these things, now we can move forward. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, those of you who were at Bible study on Wednesday, you're not allowed to speak. They already got preached the sermon because this was our scripture last week, and it was like, what more can I do than preach the sermon? So they got it. Now, I want all of you, though, to look at verse 2. It says here in verse 2, make my joy complete. Who is speaking there? Who is speaking? Make my joy complete. Remember, people who were there on Wednesday aren't saying anything, so if you weren't there on Wednesday, you're supposed to say something. Jesus. Paul wrote it, but he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, in Paul writing this, God himself is telling us, make my joy complete. Wow! You and I can make God's joy complete. I didn't think he needed anything. He doesn't need anything. He wants something. Okay? He doesn't need it. He's complete in himself. But he's saying, we've been created for a purpose. He wants us to fulfill that purpose, okay? And that purpose is to make his joy complete. He wants us to be one with him. So how do we do that? We need to understand, he's saying here, to make his joy complete, we need to maintain the same love, be united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. How many of you right now are wondering what's for dinner? How many of you are thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow at work? How many of you how many of you are wondering about, you know, something so far off and so distant that you aren't even in the room right now? Happens all the time, doesn't it? I love it when I'm preaching and I'll look at somebody and they're out there somewhere. And it's so funny because all of a sudden they'll come back to a sense of reality and pastor's looking at them and they're like, remember, God sees it all. Catching my eye is just a reality that God has seen where you were. In fact, God was there wondering why. You're supposed to be here of one mind, of one spirit, of one love. When we walk this world, how many of us are told that we can have whatever we want and that we are our individuals and that we're supposed to look out for number one and nothing and no one else and no one more? How many of you watch television? Raise your hand. Because that's what you're being taught every day on every program that you watch, unless it's a gospel program. Okay, and I'm not talking Touched by an Angel. That's not a gospel program. All right? Because in every programming that is put out there, they are targeting I. They are separating you from the world to make you all important. How many of you have a me phone? It's called an iPhone, right? It's called that for a reason. Because it's all about I. It's all about me. What I want. what I want to project that I am, okay? It is total fantasy. There is so little in that thing that is real, and I've had people say to me, oh, but Pastor, you don't understand, this is wonderful technology because I can be in contact with 500 people all over the world. I've got friends everywhere. No, you don't. You don't know those people. And what they are telling you they are probably isn't who they are. It has been proven scientifically, it has been proven through our police officers that there are people out there in their 50s, 60s, 80s acting like 14-year-olds because they're trying to lure kids into perverted things. It is a trap of Satan. Now, there are some good things about it because you can contact your youth group and you can contact your leadership and you can use it as a good tool. But when your life is so wrapped around it, you do not have a unity of love with your brotherhood. You have a oneness of self. And it's all about you. And do you wonder why you feel so alone? Mitch stated here to us earlier, when there's no hope. Because you see, church, we are here because we know a hope. Amen? We share a hope. Amen. And it's in that hope that we have a purpose. And that purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not me to get a big home, right? But it's not about those things. I know that. You know that. The world doesn't know that. But we as the church need to take the church out there in one mind, in one spirit, in one love. And that love is Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says at the beginning of this verse. He says, therefore, right? If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if God is in you in the least manner, these other three things will be there. But you have to access them. You have to open your spirit to them. You have to move in them. We as the church have got to understand, God here is telling us that when we make Him happy, when we make His joy complete, it is because we have become one with Him. Because we have come under the headship of the Holy Spirit. We have joined the Trinity. Do you understand that? Please get that. Doesn't mean we become God. We don't have power. The only power we have is His power in us to do only what He wants. Amen? So believe me, you're not gonna levitate somebody. Okay? All right? You're not gonna change the color of the sky. You know, you're not going to part the Red Sea. But you can move a mountain. That's His word. You can do greater things than Jesus has done. That's His word. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. For there's nothing impossible with God. But you have to be one with God, in God. And we have to be one. If we're going to be an effective church, we have to have one purpose. We have to have one love. We have to have one mind. And that means giving up ourselves and giving up our stuff. Right now, and in fact, I said this the other week, last Wednesday, at Bible study. Let's move on before I say it, because I want the Word to say it before Pastor Rich says it, right? Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In the church of Jesus Christ, one of the things I want you to understand is that picture that was just painted there, that's the circumcision of the heart in the church. That's the circumcision of the heart in the church. In other words, we need to remember God is before us. We are nothing without Him. He is everything, and in Him we move and have our being. If we are not circumcised of the heart in that manner that Jesus Christ died for us, we are His body, we're to do His bidding, then we are not circumcised of heart. All we have is a circumcision of flesh, and it will avail to nothing, which you're going to hear in a little while. Because the reality is this, dear brothers, Jesus emptied Himself of all glory and came down to earth. God emptied Himself of all His power, everything, except His eternal existence, because that can never go away, and became as man. You and I need to empty ourselves of everything, and submit ourselves to God and allow Him to live in us. Right now, we're a small church, right? Miss Leslie, how many hats do you wear? And you know what I mean by that, right? You all know what I mean by that, right? How many hats do you wear? 4, 5, something like that? Yeah. Miss Virginia, how many hats do you wear? 3, 4? Yeah, a couple. Miss Root, how many do you wear? Too many. Brother Bob, Miss Beth, how many do you wear? Didn't realize you were going to put that many on when I asked you to start this venture with me, did you? Yeah. Some of us have a whole closet full of hats. Others of us don't have any hat in the ring. This is where it's got to change. Because if we're truly of one mind and one purpose, we're all going to put in an equal amount. We're all going to help out one another. Because when one part of the body is affected, the whole body suffers for it. Right now, my guts are in turmoil. Do you think the rest of my body doesn't know it? I've lost about 11 pounds. I'm finally down to 200. Woohoo! What a way to get there. We need to understand that there are some times that we are just sick inside. We can't do it all because it's overstressing us, it's overworking us. And we need to see to it that when this body is sick, the other portions of the body are stepping up. And right now, there are people who have 4 and 5 and 6 hats on, and they need to take some hats off, and some of us need to be putting other hats on. Right now, we have people doing ministry that they really don't want to be doing that ministry, but there ain't nobody else doing it. You know what I told the folks on Wednesday? Nobody else is doing it, and you don't really want to? Then let's not do it. Why should we? Evidently, it doesn't matter. If God wants us to do it, will He equip us with the people to do it? Yes, He will. But we have to want what God wants in order for that to happen. I never expected to be a pastor. I never wanted to stand up in front of people and speak. I was perfectly content being a machinist all the days of my life. But look where I am now because of what happened when I was 18. Remember, I was going to give it all up. That bridge was looking really good to me. But it took me years to understand until Christ finally spoke it into my life, and He said, "The life I give you is not your own." Isn't that what Paul says? Isn't that what the Scripture says? That we are to live as Christ? That it is no longer I, but Christ in me? Isn't that how the church is supposed to live? Isn't that how we are to be? Christ gave Himself up. We as the church need to begin giving ourselves up and looking at who we are. And you know, I'm going to pick on, well, I won't pick on anybody. I pick on people too much. But there are folks in here that I know are just far overworked. And we need to remember, what does this good word tell us? What does this good word tell us? It says, do nothing out of self and ambition or empty conceit. Okay? Do not merely look on the out. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for others. And when the attitude is right, when the attitude is right, the gratitude flows. When the attitude is right, the gratitude flows. That is one of the greatest aspects of life that I can ever give you. Okay? There are days, people, that I don't want to hear from you, but my phone ringeth anyhow. And Pastor picks it up 99.99% of the time. Friday is the only day I don't pick my phone up. I screen my calls on Friday because that's the day I get to do the majority of stuff I need to get done, so my honey-do list isn't as long as my leg. Okay? But how many of us are just letting the phone ring over to the machine and then hitting the button to erase it when God's calling us, when God's asking us to move, when God is giving us marching orders? Because He wants us to see that somebody's in need. He wants us to see that brothers and sisters have a great desire. But unless somebody's willing to grab a hold of it and move, it's not going anywhere. There's a reason our church isn't going anywhere. Because none of us are grabbing a hold of it and taking it out there as we've been encouraged so many times to do. And you know, it's one thing to say, oh, but I've invited 10 people. Great. How many of them have you picked up? You know, there's a lady in here and I respect her greatly because she literally made sure people came. You know, this lady, when she would talk, folks listened. She was like the E.F. Hutton of the banking world. Now you all know who I'm talking about, right? And it was amazing because when she spoke to the people, they would come. Why? Because she didn't let up on them, did you, Miss Pauline? You knew where they needed to be, didn't you? And you kept on them until they showed up. You know, folks, simply to say, well, but I asked them, because when you ask in that manner and walk away and you don't come back again, you just showed them your true intent and your true interest. It certainly wasn't in them. It was about you speaking a word. It wasn't about them coming to Christ. If it was about them coming to Christ, why do you think I'm back here every Sunday? Because the pay is so good. No, it has nothing to do with a paycheck. What it really has, and I'm not being critical there. Please don't hear that. I'm trying to be funny. Why do I come back? Because I can't stop. I can't stop. Once God got this ball rolling, it got bigger than me. And I can't stop it, no matter what's wrong. Last week, I was so grateful Brother David was preaching. I could literally rest. Today, I'm sick. I hurt right now. But I'm up here, and I'm going to speak the word. Why am I going to speak the word? Because it's the only thing that matters. He. The word is a he, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's alive, and he's well, and he's supposed to be living in the church. We are to be one with him. That's what the scripture says. If there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any of him resides in us, the love of God, the purpose of God, and the mind of God will run through the church. And that's where we need to be. We need to get outside of ourselves. We need to stop thinking about ourselves. And we need to start thinking about what we're going to do for God. You know, we had a wonderful president some years ago. I was just a little tyke. And he made this famous statement, and they still play it today. And it was this: ask not what you can do for your, or ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And you know what? They killed him. They killed him. But before him, there was another man. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he said, come, and I will make springs of living water to come up in you. And he said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And he said, come, for there is many mansions in my Father's house. For if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And guess what? They killed him. But now he lives inside every one of us who believes. Are we going to be the church that he gave himself for? Or are we going to be the individuals of this world wanting what we want, when we want it, and how we want it? What do we call that, Miss Faye? Burger King faith, right? First time I heard that ever said, that was Miss Faye. We were at a deacon and elders meeting, and she said, this isn't Burger King. And I about flipped out. But that's what everybody wants. We want it our way. Would you get out of the way and let Christ have his way in you and with you and see how far you go? God has a plan for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. My life verse. My plan for me was to harm me. I hate to tell you this, whether you believe it or not, outside of Jesus Christ, your plan for you is to harm you. It leads to eternal damnation and death, complete and total separation from God. But in Christ Jesus, if we come together as a community, what can stop us? Nothing. So we need to be the body of Christ. One of the things that we need to do to be the body of Christ is understand that Jesus gave up everything, even unto death on the cross. We need to give it up too. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in the 12th verse. This is my last scripture, and then I'm gonna end this sermon here. We're just 2 miles outside the airport, okay? Getting ready to put the flaps down. Landing gear's already kicking in. Okay? Verse 12. From Colossians in the 3rd chapter. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishment. And admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Can I get an amen? You and I, as the church, need to understand that we are chosen and wholly loved, and we are to share whatever we have together. We are to bear with one another. And that doesn't mean just our church, but that means with all brothers and sisters out there in the world, true brothers and sisters of faith. If they call upon the name of Christ, we cannot judge that salvation. We can judge the fruits of their labors. We can judge the fruit that's on the tree. All right? And that we're told to do. But we need to remember, judging salvation is to judge your own salvation. So watch that one. But when we come to that place of looking at our lives and looking at ourselves as the church, we need to remember, if we're going to experience the blessing that God has said that He's going to give us, if we're going to move in this circumcision of our hearts, whether it's at work, home, or here in our church, that we may receive the promise that God has promised us, okay? Because He's getting ready to roll back the reproach just as He did in Egypt, and I think He's going to be doing this throughout the church. We need to be willing to do what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says here that we are to forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against another one, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. We need to put on a bond of love rather than a bond of malice or a bond of hate. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Yeah. We pray this all the time. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if we forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Are we, the church, willing to look at ourselves and begin the cutting of the flesh spiritually of our hearts? To allow God to take that knife and lay us open, that we may see our past, be healed from it, set free to live anew for Christ. How many of you want that for your lives, for your children's lives, for the lives of your children's children's children? For God says to those who love them, He blesses them to the thousandth generation. Let's love God enough. Let's love God enough to start now. Let us forgive our brothers and sisters. Let us move forward knowing that what we do is not of us, but is of the heart of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but forgiveness is ours. May we do so as Christ did. For Jesus spoke it from the cross, and as I said, you're going to hear that later. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many times do we sin in ignorance? Let us forgive in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Rise to your feet, dear brothers and sisters. Father God, we want to continue in your will. Father God, we want to be the church of Jesus Christ. And I know over these next weeks we're going to come back on this and we're going to look a little bit differently at some of the other aspects of church and family and work. But Lord, right now, we're going to be beginning our congregational meeting. So Lord, I'm going to pray for that meeting even now. Because, Lord, we want to open that meeting under your care. We don't want to invoke you in after we've started. We want you there before we are. So, Lord, look into the future. Look into your heart. And look into the hearts of your people. And if there be any measure within us that needs to be taken care of, Lord, may you bring it up in our spirits that we're able to speak it truthfully and lovingly, knowing that nothing will be taken in any derogatory manner, that, Lord, we should not be afraid to speak in truth and love. For if we have disappointment or disagreement, that, Lord, we would understand that at this meeting, this is where we get to, Lord, we're going to do the laundry. It's that simple. And may it be whiter than snow when you're done with it, Lord. For may we wash our robes in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the blood of the Lamb, and may we be whole, and may we be full, and may we be complete. Father, we give ourselves to you. We are your church. We exist to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. May that truly be who we become. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or If you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.